Hey, Sharon.
Hey, Lucy.
How's it going?
Good.
Good.
How are you doing today?
Good. Doing pretty good. I was just thinking, have you ever missed someone so much that you actually had a sense of grieving?
Many times, but one in particular I can think of, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking about my little grandson the other day and just how much I missed him. We've got 7 precious grandchildren.
I know.
And most of them are very close by, and we get to see pretty often. But we have one little grandson that he and his mom have moved away, and they live in North Carolina now, about 5.5 hours away.
Right.
And I guess I grieve him being gone a little bit more so than what would be normal, because he and his mom lived with us for 1.5 years.
Uh-huh.
She was a full-time student and worked a lot of hours as well. And so my husband and I, Granddaddy, took care of him a lot. Most evenings we put him to bed and gave him his bath and read a book or did a bedtime story.
Sweet moments.
Very, very, very sweet moments. So for them to move 5.5 hours away has been heartbreaking for us.
I know that
even
though
it was a thing that they needed to do, and for her to pursue her new occupation and profession. So anyway, I was dusting some furniture the other day and came upon a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the most precious little smile. And you know, I could not even look at that picture.
No,
because I wanted to cry because I missed him so much. So
it's hard, and you know, it's been a little while now, not a long time, but it's not been years; it's been months.
But my heart still tugs every time I see his little sweet face.
Of course,
but anyway, we're welcoming everybody back today to the Cancer Survivor Show, brought to you by
The Chemo Girls.
And we're going to talk about grief today.
Yeah, we are.
Because that's one of those things that happens whenever you receive a cancer diagnosis.
Oh, sure. Grieving can begin at diagnosis. I mean, it doesn't have to be that someone's lost to cancer.
Right.
The diagnosis itself can bring grief. And, you know, I often say that I think of cancer as a thief in a cowbird.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I had never heard cowbird before until you started telling me about the story of hearing about the cowbird when you were a little girl.
That's right. And, you know,
tell us about the cowbird.
Well, the cowbird is a bird that I learned about years ago on those old school tape reel to reel movies. And, I can remember sitting there with my class in a dark room on the floor, listening to it click, 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 click. And this bird comes up, and they're talking about the cowbird. And the mother cowbird goes and lays her egg in the nest of a smaller mama bird who already has her eggs in the nest. And this species of birds is what would you call it? It's a species, I guess. They're called brood parasites, and it's because they put their eggs in the nest of other birds, and then their little egg will hatch a couple of days before the mama bird's eggs, and this cowbird grows exponentially and has this huge appetite. And so this tiny little mama bird is running around trying to gather food, and her little babies end up starving or flung from the nest just because this cowbird is so large. Sad.
That's terribly sad.
It just made me mad, right?
Right.
I think of cancer as a thief and a cowbird.
What a good analogy.
Well, you know, you think about it physically, and those cancer cells are doing just that.
Right.
They're taking all of that sugar out of your system and growing exponentially and just taking over territory and organs and really just bringing with it death and destruction a lot of the time. But when you look at your life, it can tend to do that as well,
right?
Because it takes your, you know, the secure feeling you had in your health the day before diagnosis.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a loss of innocence that is never regained, not fully. It can take body parts.
Mm-hmm.
It can take your skin or your breasts or, you know, a lung, God mm-hmm. forbid. It can take so many things from you. It can take your hair. It can take your sexy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
In your own feeling,
yes,
of sexy.
Mm-hmm.
It can take that. It can take your personal identity.
Like a thief in the night.
It is. It can start
goodness.
Taking finances with the medical bills.
Right.
So I don't want to make too much of this, but it touches everybody's life in more than one way. And it is not unusual at all. It's just most common for people to begin to feel grief in one or many, many areas because of this diagnosis and the ramifications on your physical well-being as well as your life. So, you know, I think it's really important that we recognize,
yes,
our feelings.
Not to try to hide it,
no,
or pretend like it's not there or try to be a superhero. You know, I think sometimes you can get these polar opposite reactions. You either feel very defeated or you feel like you are the superwoman that's going to just not go through any of these sorts of things. But really and truly, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fear's there.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety's there.
For sure.
The first grief is there. So, like you said, the first step is to identify it.
Right. Right. And, you know, with all grief, whether you've lost someone or you've lost something very important to you, or you're going through the grief of diagnosis, you know, there are these stages of grief, and we all move through them.
Right.
And we'll talk about, you know, Lucy, I'd love for you to talk about those in a moment. But again, what I'd like to say about that is, you know, here in the United States, we rarely allow for honest to God grief in our lives. We just,
right,
we don't. We don't take the time for it. And then what should be a natural process of working through grief gets stuffed and festers, and we end up with all kinds of issues later. And so I would like to say that really allow yourself the time that you need to move through these stages, and that time will not be the same from person to person. So the stages of grief, they begin with denial. You know, and I think anybody first diagnosed can relate to that whole feeling, that surreal feeling.
That's
that this,
right,
can't be happening.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Block it out. Try to pretend like it's not there.
Right. This isn't happening
but
to me.
Sometimes that happens just from that numb feeling that you get.
Oh.
And you just can't.
It's smart you just said that. But yes, it is. And if it's your parents or your friend, you go through the same thing.
Right.
It's like, what? That can't be.
No. Mm-mm. Not me.
I just saw them. They look great.
Yeah.
They look so healthy. And then when you move through the denial, what comes on the other side is a little fiery, and that's anger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you get into the, why is this happening to me? Or why is this happening to the one that I care about?
Right. Uh-huh.
So
very common.
Very common. And then bargaining. You know, like there's anything to bargain about.
Yeah. It is what it is.
I promise I'll be better and take better care of myself, God, if you will just
take this away from me.
Yeah. Or maybe they got my report wrong and,
yeah,
you know. So bargaining, and then we go into possibly depression. And that's more like, well, I just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
If this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know.
This is too hard.
This is too
hard. I can't
hard.
Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we go into acceptance. And that's the place to be, really, in the end.
And some people, I think, Sharon, wouldn't you say they pass through these different stages in different ways?
Oh, of course.
Some stay in the different stages longer mm-hmm. than others. Some don't have to go through every single stage. But I think the main point here is to recognize it.
Oh, I think so. And I think even acceptance can be like a dirty word to some people, that you're saying, if I accept this, that I'm giving it permission.
Sure.
But when you get to acceptance, then you're just saying, you know, I'm ready for whatever comes.
That's ready.
That's
right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is my reality. Now I can move on from here. But, you know, those are the Kubler-Ross stages of grief. But then there are some other ideas on stages of grief. And I found a set of three instead of five. And the first stage in this theory is numbness. Isn't that funny that that's what you said? That's when you're like mechanically functioning through whatever you have to deal with during your day.
Yeah.
But you start to socially isolate yourself
right.
a little
mm-hmm.
bit. And then you move into disorganization. And that's, you know, your feelings of pain about what you're going through are so difficult and painful for you that you have a hard time functioning.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Physically, mentally, or whatever. And when you move on through that, then you have the final stage of reorganization. And that's where you kind of re-enter into a more normal social life, and you're able to organize your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and you're starting to be able to function in your new normal.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I personally do not believe that one theory is correct and the other is incorrect.
Yeah.
I think these are both correct.
Yes,
I agree
with you.
Two different ways and aspects of looking at the same thing.
Exactly.
That's grief.
It's working through every ounce of emotion
mm-hmm.
that is there in order to find the resolve at the end.
Right, because if you get stuck, if you don't allow yourself to do this,
yes.
to move through it.
Tell us what happens.
Bitterness sets
uh-huh.
in. And when you have an embittered heart, that's a cancer all its own.
That's right.
And not only will cancer take what it's taken, but then, you know, it's like feeding a cowbird.
Yeah.
Then when you allow bitterness to set in, that cowbird grows exponentially
mm-hmm.
again.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do that. You want to move through and
yeah.
find acceptance so that that bitterness doesn't take root in your heart. That's so bad on your other,
well, you're going
your
through
health
so
and your
much
relationship.
Anyway. Yeah, when mm-hmm. you're facing surgeries and chemo and radiation and then more surgeries. I mean, you're already going through so much. You don't need to bottle up that bitterness on top of all of that.
No, it will do you no good. It will
yes.
only, you know, kill, steal, and destroy all that mess. So instead of allowing that to spiral, Lucy, you know, don't you think maybe talking it out would be
a
pretty good
solution? Think talking with your family, talking with friends, very, very important to be just transparent to those
mm-hmm.
people that are surrounding you in love. And, you know, there's situations that it's even more intense
mm-hmm.
than family and friends. And so I would like to advise anyone that is just going through extreme levels of grief and despair to seek out medical intervention.
Yes.
I know a friend of ours that has just finished up her chemo, our sweet friend Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
She said in the very beginning, she said, I was just so anxious I had to go on something for a little while,
mm-hmm.
you know, because she needed to settle her body down so that she could go through the process.
That is not at all unusual.
And it's not unusual, and it's okay. So that's what I want our listeners hear today is, if you need assistance, don't be scared to seek it out. Talk to your doctor about it. He may prescribe something that would just take the edge off of that overwhelming sense of grief and anxiety that can consume you so that you can look at your situation at hand in rational eyes.
Well, and that's not just the case for the patient. I know family
that's
members
right.
that there was no alternative.
Yes.
For them, you know, better living through pharmaceuticals and all that.
And, you know, you and I are not big advocates
of
medicines, but there is a time and place for everything.
There is. And, you know, and even if it's not medications, you may need to go and speak with a counselor.
That's right.
Who has some insight and some wisdom.
That's right.
Some experience with all of this. They may be able to help you work through this grief.
And the important thing to know is this is not a sign of weakness.
It's not. And this is not permanent.
That's
You're
right.
walking
mm-hmm.
through a valley.
Mm-hmm.
So by definition, there will be another side.
That's right.
New landscape is coming if you will continue
There's
moving
always
forward.
A mountain on the other side of the
That's
valley.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, just remember, don't give that cowbird more than it can naturally take from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the name of the game. Don't feed the cowbird.
I am never going to forget about this cowbird now that I've heard the story. It's like that parasite thing.
Parasitic brood. So anyway, Lucy, I think that's a wrap on grief.
Uh-huh.
But I was hoping that perhaps you had a not just surviving but thriving tidbit of the day for us. One of those moments when you just lay down the business of life and use enough insight and wisdom to see what life is offering you, and you just grab a hold of that.
When I was thinking of talking and thinking about our little Otis at the beginning of the show, I started thinking back on a time right after they moved into their new house up in North Carolina. And I was real busy one night. I think I was writing a blog, and it was getting close to due date and due time, and I still had all these things to do, but I get a text from Otis's mom, and she says, "Hey, you got a second to FaceTime?" And I said, "Well, sure." And I text her back, "Sure, we can FaceTime." And Otis wanted to show me his new house.
Aww.
So he had his iPad out, and he was turning around. He says, "And look, here's my bed. I brought my bed from Georgia. And look, Mimi, the same wall stuff that was in my room at your house is here." And so he had to show. "And look, oh, here's the toilet." And finally I said, "Well, honey, that's great. We probably need to get off the FaceTime now so you can go to bed. But, Mimi, I got one more thing to show you." And, he was just trying to include me in his life in North Carolina. He wanted me to feel a part of his new home. So that was my just surviving but thriving time of that day.
I love that.
I will cherish that.
Thank you, Mimi. We'll see.
You're welcome.
So, okay, guys, we're going to take off for a walk now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see you again next week. And as always, keep in mind that you can find us at our podcast website, which is www.thecancersurvivorshow.com. You can find us on Twitter at The Chemo Girls. And you can find our regular website, which houses our blog, at www.mychemococktailandme.com. And that "and" is spelled out. So, until the next time we speak, remember, we are not just surviving, but
thriving with
you. Bye, everybody.